The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome once again to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson, and as always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How are you this week?
It is a dark and stormy night.
Here it's bright and sunny. You should move here. For the summer months, anyway.
I'm definitely ready for one of the sunny stories, that's for sure.
Okay, we'll jump right into it. I hope everybody's had a good week. And Sunny Stories this week is about a little three-year-old boy named Grayson Clamp. Grayson was born deaf, and he learned sign language at a very young age from his parents, and he spent his little life going through doctor's appointments and tests, hearing tests with big scary equipment, and I can't imagine what that poor little child had gone through for the first 3 years of his life, but he had a surgery done in which the doctors implanted a special microchip on the base of his brain. And because of that technology, he actually is now able to hear. And there's an amazing video that goes with this that Ira will put up on the website, in which it shows Grayson, and the camera is focused on his little face as his father says to him, "Daddy loves you." And he can hear his dad's words for the first time. I mean, the look on this child's face is just absolutely precious. And he starts to sign that he can hear, and he gets all excited and animated. It's just a beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah, and, I love that video. It's amazing to see the reaction on the little guy's face. You know, when he hears that voice, he's just like, whoa.
And he's so cute to begin with, you know. And I mean, as I said, to have to go through life that way. I mean, I imagine if you're born being deaf, you really don't miss what you don't have, right? But he realized at a very young age, the article says, that he was different from other children. And I would assume that because of, you know, the watching the lips and knowing that people were talking but not really understanding what was going on. So I just thought that was an incredible story. It was a wonderful, wonderful story to start the week, I thought.
Well, you know, the technology thing is really amazing. I mean, yes, we have a lot of bad things as far as tech goes and all of that that goes with it. But, you know, technology can really bring a lot of really good things into our lives. And there's people like me who are blind, not necessarily completely black blind, but I have some vision left. And there's technology out there that they're developing to be able to help people like me to be able to see better. And hopefully that becomes more mainstream in the near future and I can have something done myself. You know, it would just be awesome to be able to you know, again, like you were saying, you know, the changes that are there. To be able to look at my wife, for instance, to be able to see her again would be just amazing to me, to say the least. So there's hope, you know?
Absolutely. And for someone like you, you know, to have experienced it and then have lost it.
It's harder.
That's all the more difficult.
Yeah, it's harder. Definitely.
You'll get there, Ira. I have faith.
I think so. I want to get one of those bionic eyes that they're developing. You know, with the whole Zoom lens and everything. I'd love to have that. Sign me up for that one.
I want to be 6 feet tall and reach my kitchen cabinets without standing on a stool.
Uh-huh. There is a really great technology for that. It's called a ladder.
I have a grabber. You know, the one of those metal grabbers?
Oh, yeah.
I have one of those. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I frequently climb on the cabinets like a little monkey.
Well, it reminds me of a girl. She has a YouTube account. I can't remember her name at the moment, but she has this YouTube account that she is always talking about, like, how her life goes. And she was born without arms, and so she uses her feet and her legs for everything. And she making peanut butter sandwiches, you know, using her toes and the. I mean, super powered toes this girl has, you know, but she'll climb up there onto the cabinet, you know, and open up the cabinet doors and pull out the plates and everything just with one foot. It's like, wow. You know, I mean, it's amazing what people really can get used to doing when they are lacking in something. You know, that right there is, I think, the power of the human spirit to be able to totally overcome that kind of thing.
Absolutely. When you hear a story like that, you know, here I am complaining about having to use a grabber to get like a
right,
you know, off the top shelf, and I'm fighting with it. And you hear stories about people like this, you know, that are able to carry on and live a relatively normal lifestyle and just not complain about it and take it in stride. That to me is just, it's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It really, it really teaches, you know, humility to people, I think, to have the thought of, you know, yes, no matter how bad it gets, there always is
someone
out
you.
There that has a worse off, you know, so you can't, it's hard. I mean, I guess it really puts things into perspective that things for you are not as bad as you really think that they are.
Yeah, it certainly does. It certainly does. The next story that I have is The Positive Phenomenon. And this one is also about a young child, although he's 17. His name is Zach Clements, and he's a boy that was a normal, healthy high school athlete, rather. And he was at gym class in school one day in Texas, in Brownwood. And he collapsed from cardiac arrest while he was running. So they took him to the hospital. The doctors were about ready to pronounce him dead. He had no pulse for 20 minutes. And then suddenly he revived. That to me is just amazing. It's totally a miracle. There's no doubt about it. But the part that really got me in the story that made it even more interesting is that he had been airlifted to a children's hospital in Fort Worth. He woke up several days later and he told everyone about a story. And the story that he had to share with everyone was that he saw a man with long ruffled hair and a kind of a thick beard, in his words. And he said, it didn't take me long to realize that was Jesus. So regardless of your personal belief structure or what you feel to be true or what we know to be true, I just thought that was a very amazing story. And it put a different perspective on it, for me at least, because a lot of times when you hear the near-death experiences, you hear, you know, the white tunnel and, you know, being called and, you know, relatives waiting for you on the other side or in the room that you're in when you pass briefly. So this was a different perspective on it, and I thought it was interesting. And I thought it was really cool, you know.
My wife has had her near-death experience, and her experience was definitely cool too, you know, with the, and right along the lines with what you were describing in the second part. Not seeing like Jesus or something, but experiencing this being that was there, and there was a veil that was there, but experiencing this sublimation of complete joy, love, peace. It was just an amazing emotional experience for her. She doesn't tear up, but every time that she talks about it, she does get teared up. And she's not a person that cries. So, you know.
And anybody that I've had an experience with that's had a near-death experience has come out of it with just that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful. And it's really cool that everybody's got, no matter what their personal experiences were in the amount of time that they stopped breathing or died and were brought back to life or whatever, they all have that same feeling of peace and loving. And every single one of them has told me, at least, they didn't want to come back. You know what I mean? So that's really cool.
Yep. Like for her, she was given the choice. Do you want to stay or do you want to go, basically? And she decided, it took her a while, but she decided to come back, you know,
but exactly.
It took her a bit.
Good thing for you, Ira. You'd be in trouble right now, if not for her.
Indeed. You got it.
The next story that we have is Furry Heroes. And this is about a little kitty cat who was in Russia, actually. He was homeless. And it was the middle of winter. And residents found a 12-year-old baby lying on the floor of an apartment complex. And the cat had actually laid next to the baby and kept the baby warm so that it didn't die. And I just thought that was a very amazing story. There were people that are, you know, in the building that, you know, they know the cat's there. They knew that it was a stray. Some of them fed it. And the cat started to meow and started to meow very loudly to one of the tenants. And, you know, she didn't know what was going on. And she said normally the cat would come up to her and say hello, but the cat wouldn't leave her spot. And when the woman went over to investigate, they found the baby. And apparently the cat had been laying next to it for several hours to keep it warm. And that to me is just another cool story, you know. The baby was a boy, was found with a bag. And, they, you know, someone had left baby food and diapers. The child appeared to have been well taken care of. But had it not been for the warmth of the cat, he would have died. So they took the child to the hospital, and he's healthy today. But the miracle that lies in that in itself, the fact that the cat went up to the child, lay down with it, snuggled with it to keep it warm and to keep it alive until it could alert somebody, you know, that, hey, I've got a baby over here. You know, I just thought that that was a really, really cool story as well.
Cats are pretty awesome that way. I love cats myself. I'm a cat person. I love dogs too, but, you know, for me, I've always been more in tune with cats, I guess you could say. I saw a video actually just yesterday of a little boy who was riding on his little big wheel kind of thing. And the mother had three video cameras that were set up as security cameras around her house. And so they edited together a video showing like the series of events that occurred. There was a stray dog that came up to the boy and attacked him and was trying to pull him off of his big wheel. And out of nowhere, this cat come, their family cat came literally out of nowhere and bounced off the dog, tearing up into his head, you know, and get away. This is my kid, and chase that dog away. And he chased that dog all the way down the street. That dog was in fear for his little life, you know? So yeah, cats are really cool. I mean, you know, people put them all as being standoffish and independent and that kind of thing. But I don't know. There's something about cats, I think, that they're very interdimensional kind of creatures.
I think animals in general, any kind of animal that we have, a family pet, you know, I mean, the bond that develops there is just amazing. So the next section that we have is Seeds of Hope. And this week's story is about a veteran. And the specialist, Christopher Garrett, it was a soldier. He was serving in Afghanistan as a combat engineer with the United States Army. He was with the 10th Mountain Division, and he was shot and wounded and placed on medical retirement, and he was sent back to his hometown of Joseph, Oregon. And he was under the classification because of the fact that he was shot as 100% disabled. And it was a very rough time for he and his family, and just average everyday tasks like mowing his lawn were very, very difficult for him, but he continued to strive to do the best that he could for his family and to maintain somewhat of a normal lifestyle. And one day his wife, Brittany, came into, I guess, the kitchen, and she saw him in tears, and he had an open letter in his hand. And right away that she thought, oh my gosh, something happened to a family member, somebody's passed. And Christopher went on to tell her that it was an anonymous letter. Someone had seen him struggling with mowing his lawn, and they gifted him with a brand new riding mower. So I thought that was just a beautiful, beautiful story.
Oh, wow, that
example,
is.
Another example of an anonymous gift, or, you know, just an unknown person doing something nice for someone else. And I was very, very touched by that story. I can't imagine how it would be being in battle, having an injury like that, coming home to your family, already feeling as though you can't do anything or the things that you used to do to support them and take care of them. And even normal everyday tasks like playing football with your child or something like that, you know, and to not be able to do those things anymore and to continue to have the heart to want to continue on and try so hard to still maintain somewhat of a healthy, normal lifestyle with your family. And then, you know, just for someone on the outside to see that and recognize that and want to, you know, do something nice for another person. It just blew my mind.
I see a lot of stories about, you know, people doing that kind of random act of kindness, especially financially speaking, you know, like, well, one that struck me really hard was a woman who was going to a restaurant. It was like the first time that she'd been to a restaurant in a while. She was a single mom. She had her kids with her.
Yeah, I remember you shared that story with us last time.
Yeah, that story, I mean, it's just amazing to me how people will just reach out like that and help somebody out. You never know what kind of a difference in life you're going to make to somebody. You just never know.
And that's why we have to try every single day.
Yeah.
Those little things that we do that we don't think are a big deal to someone else could make a world of difference.
Even a smile at random can make the biggest difference.
Exactly. So then we go into, do you want to do the dancing music or?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okie dokie.
The Power of Love, Huey Lewis and the News. That was released in 1985, and it hit number one in America. And I love the movie Back to the Future. That's what that music is from. I love that movie. I love all three of them, actually. Some of my favorite movies.
You know, funny story. When I was a kid, I was raised very, very strict Catholic, and I wasn't allowed to do much of anything. And my girlfriend invited myself and a bunch of other friends to go to a concert, and it would have been my first concert, my first real concert. And her mom and dad were bringing us, and her dad grew up with my dad. So there was a family history there. I mean, my parents knew her parents, they'd grown up together. And so, you know, I came home from school and I was all excited, and I told my folks about, you know, the fact that Diana had invited me to a concert. And it was Huey Lewis in the News, and it was I Want a New Drug Tour. The I Want a New Drug Tour. Well, let me tell you something. My parents went crazy. And because of the title of the concert, they were like, you're not going, you know, it's a bad influence. I'm like, you guys, it's Huey Lewis. Have you even heard his stuff? It's like the most mild.
It's as mild matter, as it gets.
You know, like, and a lot of it like has like a 50s theme to it, you know, which my dad was really into that kind of music anyway. And I'm like, you have no idea. But yet, when I told them that some other friends had invited me to, I think it was Iron Maiden or Ronnie James Dio, they were like, Rainbow in the Dark, oh yeah, that's cool, you can go to that. I'm like, seriously?
flip the Dio over upside down, it says devil, right. You know?
they were kind of out of it when it came to modern music. And my pop, we used to ride together back and forth to work, and he used to like Whitesnake, actually. He used to call them Snow Snake. Oh, put that Snow Snake on. That's a really good stuff over there. You put the Snow Snake on.
It reminds me of the movie Little Nicky. You ever see that movie?
Yes.
It reminds me of that scene with you know, them playing Black Sabbath. And listen, you know, what's it say backwards? and little Nicky's like, no. You know, the Ozman's always been very straightforward with his lyrics. However, put on Chicago. You know, worship Satan, sacrifice. Dude, Chicago's rocks.
Long story short, my mom actually gave me permission to go to that concert. Do you know that my pop didn't speak to me for 2 weeks? I swear to you, that was his biggest thing. If he got mad at me and like, not that I play both sides of the fence, but if I talked to mom about it, she was more reasonable, even though she was very strict too. You know, she at least you could talk to. My pop was like, no, you're a girl. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You're not doing anything, you know? And it's like, she told me I could go, and so I'm sure in private they had words, but I ended up going to the show, you know, and we came back in 2 weeks. It was my penitent silence for 2 weeks. He wouldn't talk to me, not a word. Like, seriously?
I love it.
Too funny. Oh my gosh. So the next segment that we have is Those Crazy Kids, and this one's kind of different. It's actually, believe it or not, I didn't realize when I started to read the article and then I watched the video, it was actually a commercial, I guess, put out by Kleenex Corporation. And I got to tell you, kudos to them because they did a really good job. And it's kind of like for me with the Dawn commercial, you know, when you see you've got to buy Dawn, and they show you that Dawn in the oil spills, they're scrubbing the little duckies and the duckies are coming all clean and how many animals that Dawn has saved. It's kind of like that with the Kleenex commercial for me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy only Kleenex for the rest of my score, you guys. But it's a story, and I thought it was a really, really neat idea. A whole bunch of fathers were invited to come to school for what they thought was just a regular career day. And so there were policemen, there were firemen showing up, you know, businessmen in whatever they wore to work. And they would stand up in front of the class and give a little speech about what they did. The fireman, there's a video that goes along with this. You've got to see it. It's hysterical. The fireman actually gets up in front of the class and says to the little boy, I am your father. You know, in that Darth Vader voice, which I absolutely love. but every father got up and talked about their career. And then the children or child would get up and tell their father how much they loved and appreciated them and how much their father was their hero. And there was one instance of a little boy whose dad was a police officer. And, you know, he tells a story about how on Christmas Eve, his dad had to work all night long and how he stayed up all night with no sleep to watch the children open their presents the next day. It was just a really heartwarming couple of minutes there. And it's a collage of different stories, and you get to see different cultures and different families, careers, and how the children perceive their fathers. To me, it was amazingly heartwarming because these children absolutely love their dads, and you could tell that the families were very close. And I thought that it was very, very beautiful to see that, you know, when you get to see stories about families that are still close and the parents are still raising their children old school, you know, it was just, I loved it. You got to see it. So I rolled.
That's awesome. Yes, most definitely. That's awesome.
So then the next section that we have is, well, we can go into Maggie's Moments, and then you want to do the Comedy Corner?
Sounds good to me.
I'm gonna hold who needs holding, mend what needs mending, walk what needs walking, though it means an extra mile, pray what needs praying, say what needs saying, 'cause we're only here for a little while.
All right, so I'll tell you an interesting story that happened to me this week. I had posted on my Facebook a couple of weeks ago that a new family moved into the neighborhood across the way, and they were one of the rental houses. And, you know, the house is kind of older. It's in somewhat of a state of disrepair, but it's a double-sided, so it's like a duplex. And previously, there were two drug people that lived in those homes. And I was very, very excited to see one and then the other leave the neighborhood. And in its place, on the left side, there's, I think, a single guy or a young couple. But on the right side, there's a woman who has this whole parcel of children, and they're all boys. There's like five boys. And a couple of weeks ago, I noticed they're always playing out in the street, you know, and they were like playing with rocks and sticks and things like that. And I could tell the family just did not have a lot. So I went ahead and I went back in my backyard. We have a basketball hoop that the kids had outgrown, and nobody was using it. It was just sitting there. And so I gave it to them. And every night for like 2-3 weeks, these kids have been outside. I mean, well after dark, I can hear the thump, thump, thump of the basketball, you know, reverberating up and down the street. And I mean, the moms thanked me like 100 times. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I should be thanking you. You have five little boys. How do you even keep it together? You know, I don't even, I can't even imagine. It's like, I wish that I had the money to like buy her a spa package. I don't even like spas, but you know what I mean? It's just the fact that she's raising five children, appears to be on her own, and she's doing an amazing job. The children are so well-mannered, and they were so thankful. And as a result of that, the people two doors down, they had their grandchildren up for the summer. And so those children have started to play with these children. And so it's kind of become like a block event. Every night they're out there, and there's, you know, like it used to be maybe five kids, and now there are like 7 to 10 to 12 children out there playing, and they're having a good time. They're getting to know each other. And it was really cool to see.
That is definitely.
Well, the other night, the one son that lives with her, I guess, just moved back in, and he's a young adult. I would say he's probably 21, 22 maybe. And he works at the hospital, and we live on a really big hill. Okay. And the hospital's like across the hill, down the hill, rather, over the bridge, and then over several streets. Well, this kid had a bike, and he's been riding his bicycle back and forth to work. Now here's a young boy that's motivated. He's got a job. He's trying to make something of himself. He had to move back in with his mom, I would assume for financial reasons, you know, temporarily, I would think, to get back on his feet. And he came home from work last night, and the other neighbors got a hold of me, and they said, you know, Mags, we want to let you know what's going on across the way. You know, we've had some robberies in our neighborhood. I know that personally you and I have spoken about issues that I've had with some theft in my driveway and in my yard, and, you know, people stealing packages off my porch and things. And she said, I just wanted to let you know that that boy across the street, his bicycle got stolen. Well, don't you know, we got rid of the two people in the blue house that were bad, and to the right of them in the greenhouse, a bunch of druggies moved in. So so I went through, and my daughter had an old 10-speed that she didn't really use anymore. It's pink, it's blue, it had white tires. They were both flat from sitting. And I went out and I'm looking at the bike, and I'm like, oh, man. I mean, here's like a 21, 22-year-old strapping young boy going to work at a hospital. I mean, is he really going to be interested in something like this? What do I do? And I thought, well, let me go talk to the mom. So I went across the way, and I knocked on the mom's door, and she came out, and I, you know, I explained to her that I had this bicycle and that my daughter really didn't use it anymore. And if it would be something that he'd be interested in, maybe he could paint it or something like that, you know, make it look a little more masculine. And he'd be more than welcome to have it. So she says, well, you know, he's working till 7:30. She goes, but I honestly, I think he'd be happy to have it. She says, he's got no other way to get back and forth to work right now. She said, I think that he would really be happy to have it. And she says, let me come over and I'll grab it from you. So she came over and, you know, we talked for a minute, and then she brought the bike back across the street. And I was just very touched, because a couple hours later, the same neighbor who told me about the theft, I had gone outside to get something in the yard. I can't remember exactly what I was doing. And she called out to me. She's like, guess what? They found the kid's bike. Apparently, they found it just abandoned in the park across town. So by some small miracle again, you know, this kid who really needed this bike to get back and forth to work, somebody had taken it, maybe changed their mind. Maybe they got distracted. Maybe someone called out to them and recognized, hey, isn't that so-and-so's bike? We've been looking for it. I mean, I'm not sure of the particulars there, but the fact remains that the bike was recovered, and the mom, I guess, went and got it and brought it back, you know, to the house so that when the kid got home from work, his bicycle was there. So they walked mine back across the street and thanked me for it. And I just thought that was very touching.
That is definitely. Wow.
Yeah, it's getting kind of crazy in the neighborhoods here. And that's another reason we should all look out for each other. You know, if you see something going on at your neighbor's house that's out of character, and, you know, maybe a strange car in the driveway or someone snooping around that shouldn't be there, please report it to the authorities and tell your neighbors so that they can be aware as well.
Yes.
I've tried so hard to form a community watch here in my particular neighborhood, but it just seems as though it's very unfortunate, but people just don't want to get involved. I'm not sure really that it's a scare thing. I mean, when I approach people, it's pretty much, well, I don't have time to do it. But I have to say, I'm going to try again here in the next couple of months, because since other neighbors have been affected and other neighbors have been stolen from and vandalized and their, you know, their privacy violated, I feel like these are the people, a lot of them before, who didn't want to have anything to do with this idea. And now I think they'd be more inclined to try something like this because they were, and it's sad to say, but they were directly affected.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now they're more willing to, I think, or would be more willing to try it out again. So. Yeah, help out your neighbors. Keep an eye on things. And
oh, it's absolutely essential. We have to be on the lookout for each other.
Yeah, and it's really a shame, like I said, until it affects people directly, sometimes it doesn't hit home. But I have to say that, you know, overall the past 4 or 5 months anyway, I do see some shifts in the neighborhood. And I do see, like, guys walking up and down the street that live here, and I can see their heads turning, you know, they're looking to see what's going on. And it's really a shame because we have some small children here in the neighborhood, you know, and I always worry for them, you know, that, my gosh, if they're playing out in the yard, are they being watched? Are they being supervised? And thankfully, I do have the type of neighbors, at least at that house, where, you know, they watch their children like a hawk. But I mean, it only takes 2 seconds for something to happen.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So stick together, help your neighbors, help each other. And community meetings, I think, are a great thing. You know, once a month, if you get together and maybe all bring a covered dish or just hang out in the yard, it's bonfire season, and just catch up, get to know each other, and, you know, find out ways to help each other, I think would be very, very beneficial for everybody. Again, especially in keeping with the visions that we've had for things to come. So.
100% agree with you there.
You want to go into Comedy Corner?
We sure can.
Okay.
Take a little break here. You guys can laugh a little bit and enjoy this. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hold on.
Hello.
Can I help you?
Hi. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, this is Sal.
Hello.
Yes, hi, this is Sal. Hi. Thank you. Thank you. I would like to order a box of bolognese, please.
A box of bolognese?
Right. They say, send a salami to your boy in the army.
Okay, let me explain. The bologna comes, our bologna comes one way only.
Send a salami to the boy in the army. That's what they said.
Right.
I want to get salamis and bolognese. Bolognas.
Okay, bologna comes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Go ahead.
Bologna comes in one size. It's about a 7 pounds.
Yes, a 7 pound bologna. That's a big. Oh!
That's huge.
Oh! What was that? What was that? Excuse me, ma'am?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
It wasn't here.
Oh, my word. Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The salami.
Send a salami to your boy in the army. I like that.
Yeah, the salami, soft salami, come 2, 3, or 5 pounds.
A 5 pound?
2, 3, or 5, and the hard salamis are 1.5, 2.5, and 3.5 pounds.
Right. When they cure the salamis, is this the one that they rub on the neck, the neck leather? They rub these on the neck to make the skin, like, soft? Salami?
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, they cure it. They rub the intestine all over the back of the neck with the salt wounds or something like that.
Not that I know of.
Send a salami to the boy in the army. That's what they always kept telling me when I was there. And I like that. And what I would like to do is order boxes of bologna, salamis, please. Thank you. Please.
A few. No, this is for mailing.
Yes, I know. Oh! Oh, my God. Are you all right? Please.
This is not happening here.
Oh, my word. Oh. Oh, God. That makes me very scared. I'm very, very scared when I hear that. Ma'am.
All right, what state are you in?
I'm in New York State.
You're in New York State. Okay, we can't.
The wonderful Empire State. The wonderful, beautiful. Send a salami to the boy in the army. I love that slogan.
Yeah, we can't.
You got fowder, Sultan fowders over there?
Excuse me?
Yeah, and a salami with a boy in the army. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Doctor's office.
Hi. Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. We had some fireworks that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew one off in my hand.
Oh. Hello, can I help you?
Hello. Oh, boy. Listen, I was lighting firecrackers that were left over from the 4th of July, and I blew...
When did you do this?
Oh, about a little while, half an hour.
Okay, what kind of firework?
It was a firecracker.
Okay.
It looked like, you know, when you finish with the toilet paper, the empty tube?
Yes.
It looked like that, about that size.
Okay.
And,
It's not a firecracker, that's like an M80 then.
Oh, boy, it's big, and it, my hand does not look good.
I suggest that you go to an emergency room and get immediate attention.
Yeah, this was a firecracker and the fuse, and all of a sudden...
What you can do in the meantime is get a towel.
Fantastic. A towel?
A clean, something clean.
Okay.
It doesn't have a lot of lint on it.
Yeah.
Wars in the house is preferred.
You know what's funny? It's stinging me like crazy.
Okay, in the meantime, just wrap your hand in something like a gauze, something that does
not
have lint on it.
Okay. You know, these firecrackers, my God, I can't even, really, I'll tell you, I don't even see fingers, but maybe it's just because I'm numb and stingy.
Just get a gauze, something that doesn't have lint, something clean. Gauze.
Okay.
Well, I really did it good this time.
Okay,
one.
Let me wrap this up and I'll see you with my
boys.
Numb.
I've been a fan of theirs for many, many years, and I just think that they're probably because of the city accent, too, more than anything, because they're based out of the city. You know, just the humor there, to me, just strikes me incredibly funny.
Oh, yeah.
I hope all of you like it as well.
Yeah, most definitely.
And just so you know, Ira and I are working on the blips for the bad words. We just haven't, you know, decided if I'm just going to stand there and go beep every 5 seconds or if. But it's relatively impossible to find comedy out there without some sort of, you know, bad word in there somewhere. So please be patient with us. We are working on it. I have gotten some feedback from people who have their families listening, and I understand it's a little bit of an inconvenience, but please keep in mind the general context and the idea of the show and why we're doing what we do. It's all for you. It's to just give you an hour shot of positivity in the arm, and hopefully that's working for you.
It is for me.
I love you, Ira. Okay, going into happiness homework. This week one, it's a very, very easy one. Ira and I were just talking before the show about the heat index rising here. And I live in a very, very, it's a very wintry condition state, this part of the state that I live in New York. For a lot of the winter, it's a very long winter. It's a very cold winter. We get very, very significant amount of snowfall. And a lot of people suffer from seasonal depression. And what happens here, I've noticed it for the past, like, I don't know, 14 years that I've been here. Historically speaking, every time the weather starts to get a little bit warmer and we start to go into the 80s and the 90s, people just go crazy. They get very, very irritable, very cranky. And I think for this area, what it is they're just coming out of that seasonal depression and then they're getting hit with the heat. And it just, they don't know what to do, you know? And so the grumpiness and the crankiness and the impatience you see typically around here, there's a lot of road rage. You know, it just in a 15-minute jaunt for me to go back and forth, you know, half the time I don't, one visit, I mean, I'm like, I'm getting the bird 2 or 3 times and people are yelling at me out the window. I'm like, I didn't even do anything, people, you know. And, you know, 5 years ago, I would have stopped my car and been ready to roll. I'm like, you know, come on, let's go. You know what? But I'm a different person now. So now I just kind of wave and smile at them and, you know, hi, how you doing? I didn't do anything. But so this week's assignment is just something to do when you're driving. And basically it's very simple. I'd like for you all just to leave maybe 10 minutes early for your destination if you're heading somewhere. And whenever you're at a stoplight or a stop sign where you have that little cluster where it's like, who goes first, even though, you know, the traffic laws and, you know, you're supposed to go first or the next guy, let the other person go, just wave them through. And, you know, sometimes that can backfire because in my neighborhood, when it gets really hot, I'll wave a guy through sometimes and then like, they'll get all indignant and like, wave me harder. And like, it becomes this waving war, who's going to go first. And then we both get fed up and one of us will take off with the light and then we both accelerate and then there's a near accident anyway. But ideally, if you let the other person go, you know, it's just a little show of, hey, you know, I appreciate you, go ahead, you take the first turn and I'll wait a minute. And I think it would really be something cool to try. I've done it before. Like I said, sometimes it's backfired on me up here. I got to be honest. But in all reality, the idea is to be kind to your neighbor. Let them take that extra minute and let that sink in. Wow, that guy let me go first, or that lady let me go first. That was really nice of them. And maybe in turn, they'll do something nice at the next light or for the next person when they get to their destination.
If I drove, I'd totally do it.
You kill me. All right, so go out your door. And no, just kidding.
I can stand on the corner and wave everybody through.
The bright orange vest. You'd be like the school crossing guard.
Exactly.
Directing traffic.
I'll do that.
You guys have no idea what we go through on a daily basis. Ira has sight problems. I've got some issues going on with my health. I'm not dying or anything, but I'm not really ready to make a formal announcement. But yeah, I've got some stuff going on. And the two of us, we have the most incredibly difficult lives. And I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for us or anything, but if we can maintain this attitude and be silly and giddy, you know, please give us a shot and do try at least to laugh along with us or at us. We really don't care.
Give it a whirl. Give it a whirl. Yep, exactly.
My goodness. So then we go into the healing herbs section and happiness homework we did. So we'll go into healing herbs. And it's actually not an herb this week that I chose. It's a spice. And the spice that I chose is turmeric. And the reason that I chose this spice is because this is something that is a staple in my cupboard. I cook with it almost all of the time. It's got many, many different benefits. Ira will post the link on his page for you. The article that I posted, I think this time, has like 15 benefits of health benefits of turmeric, I think it is. But among other things, it fights fat cells. It's been shown in some studies to have some promising effects, rather, on the prevention of Alzheimer's. It fights inflammation, and that's one of the reasons that I use it every day.
Same here.
Do you?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, you really can't, it's got a flavor to it, but it's not offensive at all. And if you sprinkle it lightly, you really can't taste it at all, depending on what you're cooking, especially if you couple it with other spices. You know,
the big thing with turmeric is you have to be careful because it really, really stains really, really easily.
It's orange. So. That's the only thing is it's bright orange.
Yes.
It's like orange.
Yes. So if you get, you know, whenever I mess with turmeric here, we always put on like old clothes, you know, that things that we don't care about if it gets messy, you know.
Preventative measures, because Ira can't see, he probably dumps half the jar.
You got it.
Oh my gosh, whereas me, I can't reach the cupboard, so by the time I do reach it, I've spilled half of it down my shirt, which, you know, that makes for an interesting, if I go shower, my body turns orange, I look like an alien. but if even if you have like Crohn's or irritable bowel or ulcerative colitis, studies have also shown that the anti-inflammatory nature of turmeric allows your digestive system, rather, to work better. And for cells to better perform their functions. And one of the things that I love about it is studies have also shown that it's a great cancer preventative. And I'm not sure if it even shows that in the article. But go ahead and Google it yourself and you can find out. There are many different recipes that you can use with it. Like I said, I just sprinkle a little bit of it virtually onto every meal that I use. And I certainly have known a difference with my inflammation, Ira.
I started using it after I had gallbladder surgery. My gallbladder was removed, and there's this issue that comes up when you have your gallbladder removed with the handling of bile, you know, that's being produced in the liver. And
right.
One of the things that turmeric acts as is it's a bitter, you know, it's that's what it's considered is a bitter, you know. So with that in mind, basically, it does aid in the digestion. It helps to smooth everything out a little bit more. easily, you know, makes the acid production a little bit more gentle, I guess you could say, as opposed to everything just getting dumped straight from the liver into the stomach. So,
and it is, it's not very expensive either. It's pretty, it's relatively inexpensive. So I use it all the time, and check it out. See how you like it.
Exactly.
Again, for the really cool recipes, because it's the first week of the month, we're going to do like, not a food thing. So I decided, I saw a really cool article, and actually, Ira, I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I have been. Anything holistic that comes up on the websites lately, they're there for a short run, and then it seems like they're taken down and you can't find them anymore. I don't know if you've been experiencing anything with that.
I've noticed that, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a reason for that, but without going into that whole thought process, this is just, it's a basic mason jar that you can put some ingredients in it and make a floating candle and make an all-natural bug repellent. And it's very simple to make. You just need a mason jar, lemon, lime, rosemary, a couple of different ingredients, and they're really, really pretty. The recipe that I posted asks for you to put some essential drops of oil in there, like cedarwood, lavender, lemon, or even thieves, which is a Young Living's brand. But you can put different things. Researching on the internet, there are different oils that you can use that are natural bug repellents. Citronella is one of them as well. And this particular recipe calls for 4 mason jars, 40 drops each of these oils, cedarwood, lavender, lemon, and thieves, or your own combination of oils, it does say, a couple of fresh lemons, a couple of fresh limes, 8 sprigs of rosemary, water, and then just a floating tea light candle. That's all there is to it. And when you go on the website and look at the picture, it's very, very attractive to look at. It's a really cool summertime thing, especially if you're having like an outdoor party. And it's a natural way to repel bugs. There are so many chemicals in the bug repellents, especially DEET. DEET is not good for you at all. And with the rise of epidemics, from mosquito bites, you know, different diseases, it's very important that we protect ourselves from particularly mosquito bites. So this is one way to do it, and it's really simple, it's easy, and it looks really cool. And so Ira will post that link on the website for you.
He sure will. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, I like that, Ira. He's pretty cool. And then we jump into Way Cool Affirmations. And this week, I've had a lot of, again, with the heat index probably rising in my area, I've had a lot of people email me and message me asking me for ways to calm down, chill out, and show forgiveness. So that they're not harboring a grudge against someone, or they'll tell me, you know, a situation that happened with them, and I'll say to them, you know, for yourself as well as for the other person, it's always good to try and forgive and forget. So this week's affirmation is, I forgive those who have harmed me in my past and peacefully detach from them. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to let that person take advantage of you over and over again. What it means is that when you forgive them, you let the energy go. You're not holding that grudge. So it's not harboring itself and manifesting in your body, which, as we know, negativity creates disease in the body. But also the energy released from that person is sort of a way to cut the etheric cords with them, so yes, that you're not always thinking about them and fuming about it and frustrated about the situation. It allows you to let it go.
Forgiveness is really never about the other person. It's about yourself and what you're having inside of yourself, because, you know, that's where the energy is focused. And when you are harboring those ill feelings, ill will, whatever the case may be, towards the other person, anybody that's around you is also getting that too. So you're resonating whatever it is that's going on inside with those that are around you. And by practicing forgiveness, that is one of the best ways basically to help those that are around you out, as well as yourself. And remember, I think a lot of people, just to throw this in here real quick, a lot of people have troubles with forgiveness because they don't know how to forgive. And what I would say is, have an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for all of the things that you've gone through, including the good, including the bad, because all of them can be taken as lessons. So even if it's something that was bad that happened to you, you can walk away from it with the lesson of never allowing that to happen to you again. So you can, absolutely, be grateful for the learning of that lesson.
Yep. Move on from your mistakes and it makes you a better person.
Yes.
And the scripture that I chose for this is Matthew 6:14-15, again, King Jimmy. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I just went through an instance of this week where I read an article, and I actually listened to a podcast from a competitor, we won't mention any names, where they were quoting and spewing the Bible the entire time. And the first thing that they did was bash on psychics. And, you know, gifts of the Spirit are gifts of the Spirit, regardless of your religious beliefs.
They're biblical.
And how do they know? Like me personally, for example, how do they know where my gifts come from? How do they know what I think and what I feel? You know, they really don't have a way of knowing. But to automatically just kind of jump out and say, well, you know what? If you're psychic and you're prophesying, it's wrong. It's against the Bible and it shouldn't be allowed and you're a bad person. That, it's a sore spot with me. I've got to be honest. And it's something that it's taken a while to kind of contemplate on and think. And I have forgiven those people, but it was constant. It was like probably it was a couple of hour interview, and I must have heard, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 times, you know, them saying just really nasty things and bad things. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, guys, you're doing a show about the Bible.
If I speak with the tongue of angels or in the tongues of angels, but I have no love, it means nothing.
You know it. So there you go. And then the last segment of the night is Things My Dad Says. And this one's actually just kind of a helpful hint for you. I was talking about somebody the other day on my Facebook about this. And with summer storms, I was just talking about this before. You know, you have power outages and you have no lights. And one really cool thing that my dad taught me to do many years ago, which I've always listened to him and I've done it since, is those outdoor solar lights that you have in your yard. If you have a power outage, you can pull them up and put them in your house. And it's a really neat way to have light in your home without having to worry about last minute batteries. Did I charge the flashlight? Did I put batteries in my, you know, battery flashlight? And what I do with them is I actually keep a vase of them upstairs on my shelf where I winterize my plants when I'm not able to put them outside. And I keep them in a sunny window. And so they're always charged. If the power goes out, I just go up there and I grab them. And it's a really cool thing. But if you have small children, I've had this before where I've had instances of like sleepovers where I've had, you know, my girlfriend's kids and we're babysitting or whatever. And my older daughter will help me to watch the children. And the power goes out and instantly children are terrified. You know, they don't know what to do. They get scared. Their mom's not with them. Now there's a panic state going up. What I did is I've taken the lights and I've given them to each of the children and we played castle. And I've kind of stuck them on the wall as makeshift kind of like sconces. And they get to hold the solar light like a torch. So if they have to walk up to the bathroom, of course, I escort them up to the outside of the door and, you know, walk around the house. At least they don't feel so frightened. We kind of make a game out of it. But they're a wonderful tool. And I found, honestly, I bought the expensive ones. I have the designer ones here. The ones that you get from the dollar store seem to last the longest or work the best. They're the brightest. And for whatever reason, their life expectancy seems to be a little bit longer than some of the more expensive brands out there. So also, when I've lost power, I've gone and just taken them right out of my yard, you know, and stuck them around the house. So I thought it was a really cool thing. I've been doing it for years, and I thought I'd share it with all the rest of you. Because when we lose power, not all of us are prepared enough to have fresh batteries and candles laying around. And that's another thing. Especially if you have animals or small children, you know, candles can be a fire hazard.
Yep.
So there you go.
It's a great idea. I love that idea. we have actually solar flashlights here that we always keep underneath lamps that are, you know, always on, basically, because with us, there's somebody that's awake in the household all night long, you know, so we have a light that's on usually all the time. So we'll have solar lights, you know, solar flashlights that are always there. So they're always charged and ready to go. So that's another idea for you.
Oh, that's cool, too. Where do you get those, Ira?
Jolene gets them from her work over at Menards, the hardware store. They're just these little handheld solar flashlights.
Oh, wow.
Cost like $2. They cost like $2 and they're LED. So.
Well, there you go, folks. They're cheap as well. We'll have to check those out for sure. So, Ira, we the last couple of weeks we recorded, we haven't given out our contact information. Is that something that you'd like to do this evening?
Yes, definitely. Why don't you go ahead and give yours, and then I can give the long stream of mine.
Okay. Well, on Facebook, it's Maggie-Violet Nile, Violet Nile being my business name. And on Skype, it's Maggie Hart. Let's see. On email, it's Maggie, capital M, M-A-G-G-I-E, underscore, capital H-E-A-R-T, at outlook.com. And Ira and Jolene built me a fabulous website, and I believe it's www.maggiehart.com. Ira?
That is correct.
That's it. So that's my contact information. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And here's Ira.
So to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Facebook, Twitter, Google+, everywhere, basically any kind of social social network. We're Open Eyes Network on all of those different platforms. You can also reach us at feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. That's my email address, and all of the emails you guys send me are great. Please send more. I love hearing from everybody. I'm a social butterfly, I guess.
And so we are working on a Facebook page. It's just giving me difficulty. I'm not a very technological person, and there's a problem with admin or something. I got the page built, but it won't let me go in and write anything. So
Of course.
We'll get those bugs worked out in a couple of days, and we'll have a Facebook page for you all to enjoy, too. And then that way you can easily put down your thoughts, feelings, and share some posts with us. And please, please,
absolutely,
share your stories with us. Let us know what's going on. If there's a, like for the happiness homework, for instance, if you have something that happened to you that's interesting that you'd like to share, or, you know, a story of a miraculous healing, anything like that, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. This is going to be even more interactive, but it's an interactive show as well as something for you to just relax and enjoy.
Indeed, indeed. You can also reach us on YouTube. We are at youtube.com/C/Open Eyes Network. We put out new videos every day for you guys, so take advantage of it while you can. We're there constantly, so make sure you guys are tuning in. All of our shows go up there as well. So
Ira never sleeps.
No. I'll be mellow when I'm dead, as Weird Al Yankovic says.
Pretty much. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. I've had a really great time with you as well, Ira. I can't wait. I can't look. Can I talk? No.
I think you can.
I can?
I think
sometimes
you can.
I can. On occasion. I might not make that much sense, but I can always speak. The mouth never stops. I'm like a whippoorwill's ass. But anyway, have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening. Thanks, Ira.
You bet. Everybody out there, keep safe, have fun, and we will talk to you again soon.